Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 11. Roar. The depths of Zaun bustled like a nest of disturbed ants, and Jinx plowed through them with a singular focus. It might have been harder if anyone remained in her way for more than a moment, but Jinx cut an incredibly distinct figure when she was wearing her coat.
"Camlord, the Eastern Manifold has been mined," a man said.
Jinx's eyes skipped over his face. It wasn't important. The face was normal, smeared and grungy with oils, and perfectly Zaunite. Snatching the report from him, she scanned it over, then scowled and shoved it back into his chest.
"Do you have eyes? The pipework mines are too close to the superstructure," Jinx snapped. "Do you want to bring this whole place down on us?"
Sorry.
He scrambled back towards the eastern pipeworks that folded out from the Cardinal Station, but Jinx had already forgotten him. The only thing her mind retained was to double-check the eastern manifold before they pushed the big red button. She scanned over the rest of the primary pump station, and everywhere her gaze crossed, people worked at double time. The Cardinal Outflow Pump Station was a cyclopean cavern of brass and stone carved out of the heart of the cliffside itself. It dug deep in an ancient aquifer that had been collecting water since rocks were soft, and as far as the planet was concerned, the amount being drawn out by Piltover wasn't more than might be taken by a tick from someone's arm. Looking up, Jinx checked over the twisting nest of pipes and wove across the ceiling, fastened into place almost 2 centuries ago. It had been kept up dutifully by Zaunites until about a century ago, give or take a decade. At least that was the way her father had told it. Piltover had forgotten the many things that Zaun did that maintained their lifestyle. They'd begun taking things for granted. So eventually, Zaun stopped doing those things. Because of that, the Cardinal Pump had begun to lose efficiency. It started half a century ago, probably with a burst pipe here and a corroded pump limiter there. Some sections had been shut down, and Piltover had forgotten why that was, only that it was too deep for their maintenance crews to reach. Too deep because otherwise they'd end up in the Undercity. And that was why the dams had first been built. Power and water were diverted through there, collected, and then distributed through the more durable greater pipeworks, which Piltover could more easily maintain since they were closer to the surface. Except all of the water at some point had to pass through the Cardinal Pump Station. It was the great regulator and filter, and that ensured the water that reached any given faucet in Piltover was clean and pure. Of course, none of those faucets ended up in Zaun, or at least not enough of them did. The regulator in the heart of Billowa was a Zaunite addition that tapped into the main line where it connected to the outflow manifold like a needle into an artery. Its draw had been tiny compared to what it was capable of now that Jinx had improved it, but it still rankled that all this time, Billowa had been no more than a quarter mile from the Cardinal Station, and yet most of them had still been fighting for clean water on a daily basis. All because they hadn't known the way, and because Piltover had never considered water to be a resource worth doling out to the citizens of its mining colonies, not when it could withhold that resource to keep riots and protests on the back heel. Well, now Piltover was about to find out what it was like to turn on the faucet and go thirsty. Jinx grinned maliciously as she stalked over towards the station itself, where all the clockwork consoles were clicking and ticking their endless little timers for release and draw and close and then rinse and repeat.
"Where are we at, little man? Talk to me,"
Jinx barked as she ascended the metal staircase to the tower station that rose up from the center of the pump. Echo was standing outside the main doors to the control room of the clipboard, shouting orders to his hive of firelights which were buzzing through the air applying the charges that were too high to easily access otherwise. Jinx had wondered how many he would bring for this little exercise, and apparently the answer was all of them.
"Northern Pipeworks is set and ready to go,"
Echo called out.
"Southern Pipeworks are the same. The west is a little more complicated. There were some structural collapses that make popping the pipeworks there a little dicier."
"Blitzcrank and Ziggs will ensure this does not happen."
Heavy metal footsteps preceded Victor's lean and cloaked figure, his hex core humming at the tip of his staff like a living thing.
"What of the east?"
They put the mines too close to the superstructure, Jinx said flatly. I'm going to go over there and fix it, then I'll break the arm of whoever did it in the first place.
Echo shook his head.
Relax, Jay, I'll send one of mine over,
he said.
They'll get it fixed.
If the bombs knock out the support, the whole fucking place falls on our heads, magic or no magic, Jinx said.
She couldn't find anything to laugh about for once. This was big. This was capital B big. Scowling, she turns to Victor and asked,
What about the beacon? Did you fix it?
Victor smiled, and Jinx found herself mirroring the expression as he gestured for them to follow. He led them into the main pump station and down two sets of stairs to a wide, open sub-basement several hundred feet across, where a hodgepodge of Hextech machinery had been wired up. Over a dozen capacitors were stationed around a central apparatus, and the walls, ceiling, and floor were dotted with odd metallic nodules. Even better, near the middle of it all was her light.
Jinx!
Lux looked up and brightened before maneuvering around the nests of wires and cables and throwing herself into Jinx's arms, and suddenly the world didn't feel so big anymore.
Hey, Blanny, Jinx murmured as she pressed a kiss to her wife's cheek. How's things?
Lux returned the kiss fondly before stepping back.
Good, she said. Between Sarah and I, the capacitors are fully charged. Forget Piltover, we could probably steal something from the Freljord with this much power.
Something small, perhaps,
Victor said.
Remember that the power requirements increase exponentially with mass and distance, and we're intending to steal quite a lot of mass. This had better work,
came the domineering voice of Renata Glask as she stepped out of the shadows near one of the capacitors with Seraphine at her side.
I've lent you my most precious resource for this endeavor, and I would be sorely disappointed if it proved to be a waste.
Victor coughed.
I've been working with Hextech since its inception,
he said.
You'll get your Hex gems back, Miss Glask. I could care less about the gems,
Renata said flatly as she laid a hand on the small of Seraphine's back.
Every moment that she's outside of Glask's spire, she is in danger. We will finish this quickly.
Seraphine gave Jinx a wary look, and Jinx returned it with a smile and a wave before looking back to Lux and saying,
You got enough juice left for the demolition, Blandy?
I'm fine,
Lux replied, raising her hands to show off the new focus Jinx had gifted her. This thing is by far the most efficient focus I've ever used. Almost zero lost mana. I could probably cut steel if I put enough power into it. A small wash of relief fell over Jinx as she pressed her forehead to Lux's and let the strain and stress of what was coming drain away. They had a long way to go before they could attack the East Sun Gate. Zaun had an army in theory, but in practice it was a bunch of gangs and private security companies who had been competitors at best until about a month ago. Getting them all to work together, much less trust each other, was still a work in progress. The food from this mission would buy Zaun a lot of time. Maybe enough time. Sighing, Jinx stepped back and looked at Seraphine.
What about you? You good?
Just give me a moment to catch my breath,
she said softly. Shrugging, Jinx turned back to Victor and followed him over to the main console. Between the two of them, they had managed to scrap together enough Hextech to build what amounted to a bootleg Hexgate. It wasn't exactly stable and probably wouldn't last for more than a couple of jumps, but that was fine. It only needed to last for one, maybe two if they had time.
Since we're all here,
Echo said, moving up to them.
Shall we go over the plan?
Please do,
Renata said.
I haven't heard this particular bout of insanity yet in full, and I confess myself curious.
Be nice, please. They're doing this for the people,
Seraphine said. And Jinx couldn't resist a faint smile tugging at her lips as Renata stiffened, but didn't argue.
Okay.
Jinx rolled to the back of her head and started pacing. Her brain worked better when she paced.
I mean, it works like this. The whole place we're in right now,
she gestured around herself.
It's part of old Piltover. It's all clockwork crap that hasn't been maintained for about 50 years, right? When we pop the top of the major outflows, it's going to knock everything out of alignment. Half of Piltover is going to feel this one, and the other half is going to taste it. And just about every emergency alarm topside is going to start howling.
Which is the point?
Echo added, picking up the thread and holding up the folder that contained the information on the food storage.
These units are outside of Piltover proper. Close to the brass cadres, new training grounds for security. But after we shut down the topsiders' water and sewage, The resulting backwash and destruction will draw them into the city to help, giving us our best chance to raid the place.
Now, when you say backwash,
Seraphine started.
Crap city, baby,
Jinx crowed.
What's the other Pilties like living next to a sump flow?
Renata nodded and chuckled witheringly before saying,
That's all well and good, but there's no way you're getting any substantial force in there.
They don't need to, Jinx said. It'll be me, little man here, and some firelights.
Victor took a step forward and pulled out.
And they will not need numbers for this heist. In fact, numbers will only be a detriment to ingress and egress. They only need enough to pin 2 dozen of these.
He held up a palm-sized piece of hextech.
In spaced intervals on or around the containers.
Renata held out a hand and Victor passed her the small device, and she looked it over appraisingly.
It's a transmitter,
Victor continued.
It works on the same functional basis as the Hextech receiver towers across Valoran that the Prime Hexgate communicates with to translate airships over great distances without them going off course. Except it's miniaturized,
Renata said quietly before looking back up.
Would you be interested in another more permanent contract, Victor? I always said you could do great things with the kind of funding I could provide.
Victor shook his head.
I work towards a greater purpose than profit, Glask. I do not need your funding. Profit is purpose, boy.
Renata replied with a viperous smile as she handed the device back.
No matter, though. You'll work for me eventually. Doubtful. We'll see.
Enough, Lux said, stepping between them. The point is that we've got a plan. Now we just have to execute it. She turned to Jinx and asked, Are the mines set? Jinx nodded, then paused and looked over at Echo, who nodded. All she could do was trust that Echo's firelight knew their shit. She resisted the urge to run out there and check, partially because she knew if she started checking one section, she'd eventually end up checking every single mine placement for every single major outflow from the Cardinal Station, and they literally didn't have time for that, since it would probably take her days. Once we blow it, Jinx started. It'll take Piltover a few hours to realize that things have gone completely tits up. We'll need those hours to get into position, Lux said, looking back at Renata.
What about the border guard?
Seraphine asked. Echo shook his head and smiled, saying,
The border guard is only hardened around the access points that come out inside of Piltover. They haven't bothered hardening the parts that pop out outside the walls yet, and that's where we're going.
Out and then back in, Jinx said.
It's never that easy.
Renata said flatly. No one argued that point. Jinx knew all too well how badly something like this could go. She was under no illusions that it would work perfectly, because nothing worked perfectly, especially not when she was involved. She was Jinx, the chaos factor. She was the reason that things went wrong. All she could do was hope that things went more wrong for the Pilties than it did for them. If it did, they might just be in this by a shout.
Whatever, I'm gonna blow shit up until the noise stops, Jinx said, flashing a grin as she tugged her jacket straight. Now, let's get those bombs a-poppin'.
She turned on her heel and led them outside. Lux and Echo fell in behind her, with Seraphine just behind them and Renata looming over her. Victor moved like a metal shadow in their wake, looking over a clipboard and muttering to himself. All that Jinx could do was make sure this part went right. Then she'd move on to the next bit and make sure that went right. One piece at a time was all she could do. They emerged into the harshly lit brass cavern of the Cardinal Station outflow pump, and Jinx put two fingers into her mouth, sucked in a breath, then let out a sharp, high whistle. It echoed shrilly, cutting through the clang and murmur of the work crews, and they all looked up at her with something that was uncomfortably approaching awe.
All right, sump rats, listen up!
Jinx crowed.
Today we're gonna knock a few blocks out from under the Pilties. They've been sucking down our clean water for something like 200 years, and I think it's about time they learn what recycled water tastes like.
The crowd around her roared their approval, only to cut off into silence as she punched a fist into the air.
Not just that! We're gonna rob the Pilties of what they've stolen. Those topsiders stuff their face with fresh food and drown themselves in clean water, and what do we get?
Nothing!
Came the answering roar.
Well, it's time to change that!
Jinx snarled back.
It's time to teach those bastards who we are!
She climbed up onto the railing and threw her arms wide.
They're about to learn that Zaun isn't some beaten mutt that they can kick and bloody up whenever they feel like. Zaun is a dragon!
She jammed her fist into her jacket, pulled out the mind trigger, and held it high in her metal fist. On cue, Lux thrust her hand up and pulsed a beam of hard light against the ceiling, spilling out a bracing shield of luminous power against the cavern's roof. At the same time, Seraphine hit a high note, and the blue light effervesced around her and spilled upwards like thousands of orphan stars to join Lux's shield, and wherever they touched, the shield tinted blue and exploded out wider and wider until it covered the entirety of the cavern in a brilliant starlit dome.
"And I'm its roar!"
Jinx bellowed, and with the press of a button, the whole of Zaun and Piltover shook. Lux and Seraphine both staggered. Jinx dropped to her side and supported Lux as she continued to pour mana into the shield that was keeping the Cardinal Cavern intact, while Renata practically scooped Seraphine into her arms as she continued to hold the note that was empowering Lux. The Belawans and other ward workers that had been putting their all in day and night for the past week to make this happen stared up in awe at the magic on display, and Jinx couldn't help but grin wider and wider as she stared down at Lux's beautiful face. Even lined with strain and sweat, she was glowing. She was so beautiful it hurt, and Jinx never wanted to look away.
"You got this, Blandy," Jinx said softly, "and I've got you."
The detonations continued to roll like thunder through the cavern as every single major pipeline that fed into Piltover was demolished one after the other, while the main structure itself was kept intact by a combination of supporting superstructures that had been erected over the course of the past week and the hard light magic of Lux enhanced by Seraphine's song. Eventually, the explosions tapered off, but Lux and Seraphine held their spell for another precious few seconds all the same. As those powers faded back and the two mages slumped, Jinx cradled Lux even as she kept her ears trained for even the slightest creak that sounded out of place. Other than the normal sounds, the cavern was deathly silent, as if the work crews were afraid to so much as breathe wrong in case it knocked something loose. Even Renata Glask seemed to be holding her breath as she drew Seraphine against her chest and stared accusingly up at the ceiling as if threatening it not to hold up.
"I think,"
Victor said quietly as he stepped forward and looked up,
"that it actually might have worked."
"Really just gonna say it out loud, huh? They call me a Jinx,"
Jinx said with a weak laugh as she stood up, pulling Lux to her feet. Victor snorted quietly and offered a wan grin by way of apology before saying,
"Credit where credit is due, Chemlord. At least this part of the plan worked."
"Come on, Jay,"
Echo said, putting a hand on her shoulder.
"We got a warehouse to rob."
Yeah, I know, Jinx said. "Just give me a minute."
She turned to Lux and lowered her down to the ground. Her wife was pale and breathing shallowly, and all the light that had been in her a moment ago seemed to be flickering.
"You okay, Blondie?"
"I will be,"
Lux replied, looking up at her with glassy eyes.
"Promise me you'll come back to me, please."
She leaned against Jinx's narrow chest.
"Please come back to me."
"Always, Blindy," Jinx murmured. "I'll always come find you."
Lux nodded and Jinx stood slowly, levering her up and holding on to Lux's hands for as long as she could and for the first time in a while, really hating that Vi had taken one of her hands from her. She couldn't feel through the damn thing.
"I will look after her,"
Victor said quietly, putting a hand on Lux's shoulder.
"I have work to complete here anyway. Your work is elsewhere."
Jinx looked down into Lux's eyes and was relieved to find they had sharpened a little, and she stepped in to capture a kiss. Lux held on to her for dear life, as if at any moment the two of them might be pulled apart forever. Neither of them wanted to separate, but Lux was in no condition to go on a raid after what she'd done. She'd be a liability at best, and they both knew it. It didn't make either of them any more comfortable over the matter, though. A hand settled on Jinx's arm, and Echo said,
"Minutes up, Jay. We gotta go."
Parting from Lux, Jinx said,
"I'll be back, Blondie. Don't you worry."
"You better be,"
Lux said weakly. Then looked over her shoulder at Echo and said,
"If she doesn't come back..."
Echo held up his hands.
"Oh, believe me,"
he said.
"Either she'll come back or none of us will."
"That's not what I was gonna say,"
Lux narrowed her eyes. I was going to say, if she doesn't come back, I'm personally going to the Shadow Isles, and I will find both of you. Echo swallowed audibly, then nodded as he steered Jinx away. They fell into step beside one another in silence as they descended the steps into the crowd, which parted for them easily, and as they approached the waiting firelights along with the extra board they'd brought for Jinx, Echo finally spoke up.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah?
Lux scares the shit out of me.
Jinx flashed a smile and said,
I know, ain't she the best?
Klaxons blared across Piltover and Jace looked out, bleary-eyed over the city. The quake had woken him moments before the alarms had started going off, and those had been followed by an emergency pneumo a few minutes later. He had scanned it once, then stepped out to stare at a city in chaos before looking back down and reading it over again. Impossible, he whispered before turning on his heel to sprint over to the master bathroom attached to his room. He gripped the faucet handle and cranked it wide. A weak spill of water fell from it for a moment, then gave a few miserable coughs and splutters. Then it gave out entirely and went dry. Spitting a curse, Jace rushed to his wide bathtub, leaned in, and cranked open the valve there. Instead of a flood of warm water, there was only an asthmatic wheeze as the dregs of its last use dribbled out before giving out as well. His hand shaking, Jace stood and backed away from the bathroom, mind racing as he tried to put together a plan. The Talus estate was hooked into the mains, but that hadn't always been the case. It was an older house, and the conversion had been recent, only in the last decade. He could swap it back over to the old well that was still sitting untouched beneath them, but that would take days at best. Days without water, and worse, there weren't that many wells left in Piltover, not since the sewers had been fully integrated over a century ago. The older estates might still have their well connections available, but most of the new structures built in the last 50 years, including all of the residential spires, not only had no well access, they didn't even have the means to connect their water systems to it, even if they did. Jay stepped back into his bedroom, crossed it in a rush, and burst out onto his balcony again as he tried to piece together what had happened. An earthquake? No, they weren't on a fault line. There had never been a single natural earthquake in the history of Piltover. Mine collapses, sure. Explosions from volatile fissure gases meeting things they shouldn't have, of course. That meant it wasn't natural. Zahn, he muttered. In the depths of his gut, Jace was certain of it. He was certain that this was no accident. Gritting his teeth, he tightened his grip around the balcony rail as he saw in his mind's eye all the people of Piltover suddenly parched of water. It was going to be chaos, and that chaos had stemmed from one source. Not just Zahn. No, this had come from the hands of one specific Zahnite. The same one that had haunted him for years. Jinx! Jace spat as he stood straight and stormed over to get dressed. It was going to be a long week. Vi sat bolt upright as their bed shook, wrapped her arms around her wife, who was still slumbering peacefully, and hurled the pair of them off the bed. And Caitlin woke with a startled shriek.
Violet, what are you...
But Caitlin's words choked off as the manor shook again, then again and again, before settling. Adrenaline was singing through Vi's veins like lightning. She had been back underground and in the lanes for a moment, sharing a cramped bed with her sister. She was shaking and sweating as she stared up at the ceiling, certain that it was about to crack and come down on them. It didn't, and after a moment, Caitlin wriggled herself upright and laid a hand on Vi's cheek.
"Darling, talk to me," she whispered softly. "Where are you?"
I'm right here," Vi muttered, still staring at the ceiling as if taking her eyes off it might make the cracks appear. She clenched her jaw and forced herself to close her eyes as she said, "I'm home. I'm with you. I'm topside and...
"And you're safe," Caitlin said quietly. "You're all right."
"I'm all right," Vi repeated. She blew out a breath and looked away from the ceiling and into her wife's eyes. Caitlin leaned in and met her lips gently, pulling her into a comforting kiss. And slowly Vi began to relax until finally Her breathing came back under control, and she felt at least halfway sane again. As Caitlin drew back, she looked around and said,
"What was that? We don't get earthquakes in Piltover."
"I don't know," Vi said as she stood, pulling Caitlin to her feet.
"It was like a, I don't know, like a mine collapse back in the Undercity, you know?"
She moved to the wall and ran her hand over it, half expecting to find cracks.
"Sometimes a demo would go wrong and the mine shaft would come down, or it'd ignite a fissure vent and secondary explosions would take out the whole block." She lowered her hand. "You never wanted to feel the walls shaking down in the lanes."
Caitlin moved up behind her and wrapped her arms around Vi's waist.
"I'm sorry, that must have been terrifying."
Vi shook her head.
"No, that's not what I mean," she said. "I mean, that shake, that wasn't a quake, that was an explosion. Now, I know the difference."
She turned her head to look Caitlin in the eye.
"It was her." "How do you know?" Caitlin asked.
"Dunno," Vi replied.
"I just do. I know what my sister's bombs feel like, and that felt like one of hers."
Frowning, Caitlin stepped around to look her in the eye.
"But it must have shaken half the city. What even was it?"
"Don't know that either, Cupcake," Vi admitted as she rubbed at her eyes and walked over to the bathroom and cranked on the water.
It coughed a few times, then went dry, and a horrible sinking feeling lowered into Vi's gut as she began putting the pieces together, and after a moment she swallowed thickly and said,
"Hey, Kate?"
"What is it?"
Caitlin called back from the bathroom.
"Does this place have a well?"
Silence answered, followed by footsteps before she appeared at the bathroom door, wrapped in a silk robe with a worried expression on her face as she said,
"Somewhere, I think. Why do you ask?"
"Because I think I know what Pow Pow just blew up," Vi said hollowly.
Camille Ferros's eyes snapped open an instant before the bedroom shook for real. Her sensory suite had detected the subtle vibrations seconds before they actually reached her. It was no natural tremor. That had been a controlled series of explosions, and it had come from deep underground. It had come from Zaun. Camille made a noise in her throat as she considered the distance based on the vibration and sound. Her mind put the pieces together, calculating it until she reached a likely conclusion.
"How interesting. It seems there must be someone among you who knows how to navigate that maze. That is very interesting."
Taking care not to shift too much, Camille freed an arm from the covers and reached for the emergency transmitter on her nightstand that linked the communications deck three floors up. She made a quick series of taps against the soft pad at the center of the transmitter. It would deliver those as clicks and spaces to the comm deck above as a shorthand message.
"Query. Damage assessment. Stop. Explosion origin near Cardinal Pump. Stop. Will arrive shortly. Stop. Query. Weapons test. Stop. 1. Ferros."
Setting the transmitter back down, Camille relaxed into the pillows and sighed. A woman's work was never done, it seemed. Her work had not so much as slowed for almost half a century. There was always something to be done, some mechanism to correct, some system that needed tweaking. There had never been perfection. There had never been peace. Regardless of what that old coot Heimerdinger had believed, there had never really even been progress. There had only been half-hearted forward momentum that stubbornly dragged the wretched past behind it like a ball and chain. A ball and chain called the Undercity. Piltover had established those mining colonies and then, out of sheer laziness and disregard, allowed them to go to pot. If only the great houses had been brought to heel and made to understand the weight of their responsibilities decades ago, they wouldn't have been put in this situation. Now, though, there was nothing to be done but a full course correction. The colonies had to be brought back under Piltover control, and if slaughtering every single miserable subhuman mutant that scurried around underground was what it took to bring order back to that place, then Camille was determined to see it done. It had been nothing more than a crime-infested cesspit for generations anyway, so there was no real loss.
Still, despite her age being kept at bay by her augmentations, Camille wondered just briefly if she might be getting too old for this shit.
No, never,
Camille muttered as she shifted in bed and rolled her neck.
One is never too old to do the right thing.
Hmm?
Nothing, dear,
Camille said as she patted the mass of red hair nestled against her shoulder.
The wretches have made their strike, and it's time for the weapons test.
Wren Gleamspire stirred fitfully as she clutched at the covers and pressed up against Camille.
It's the middle of the night, she mumbled. Night and day mean nothing to them, remember?
Camille chided her as she sat up and allowed the machinery in the lower half of the bed to reattach her leg prosthetics with muted clicks. Pain sparked through her a moment later as her nerves reconnected, but it was an old familiar feeling that Camille had almost grown to enjoy. Beside her, Wren sat up and rubbed at her eyes, then sighed before slinging her legs over the edge of the bed as she began fishing around for her underthings.
Son really doesn't know how to do anything civilized, does it? She said grumpily. So just do not complain about early hours, dear heart,
Camille said as she slipped out of bed and began pulling on her clothes. Her lower half had long ago been sacrificed to full augmentation, but she bore dozens of more subtle ones beneath the flesh of her torso. Fully half of her skull was augmented as well, along with most of her major organs, those which had been fully replaced, and as she set the complex blue hex gem just below her throat that linked to her heart, she considered how much more of herself she wanted to give up. However much she needed to, she decided. And not for the first time. Wren turned to her as she was pulling on her bra and asked,
Does this mean they took the bait? Most likely,
Camille replied as she tucked her gloves on.
Striking a hardened position requires either a distraction or overwhelming force. Even Zorn knows how to calculate that basic battlefield arithmetic.
A disbelieving and derisive snort escaped the young woman as she began buttoning her top.
If you say so, my lady.
Camille crossed the room and took Wren's face by the chin to turn her about, bringing them face to face.
I do say so, she replied. Remember that our pharaohs may be base examples of the mortal races, but they possess their own savage wisdom. Do not underestimate a rabid dog, or you will find its jaws around your throat. Is that clear?
Yes, my lady. Wren mumbled, and Camille sighed as she lowered her hand.
Good.
She brushed a thumb along Wren's lips, then said,
You know I admonish you only because I love you, don't you, dear?
I know, Wren said, her cheeks coloring as she smiled.
I love you too.
Camille smiled thinly.
That's a good girl. Now come.
She offered her arm gallantly.
We have a weapons test to observe.
Wren finished dressing and took Camille's arm demurely as she asked,
Did you really have to give up an entire food storage? Couldn't it have been faked? Savage wisdom, dear,
Camille repeated.
Beasts can smell food, remember? They would have known if it was faked.
Do we know who alerted them to the vulnerable warehouse?
Nothing I'm glad, but I have my suspicions,
Camille replied.
Either way, it's irrelevant. We wanted them to know, and now they do.
But if we have traitors? Wren quieted at the look on Camille's face.
If we have traitors, she said, then they are very bad at being traitors. And an incompetent traitor is very much like an ally, my sweet.
Wren pressed her lips shut, then nodded.
I will think on your words, my lady, she said. Thank you. Of course, little dove,
Camille said quietly.
Now let us see what Piltervan ingenuity can do with a little Demacian aid.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server. where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.